Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, my name is Rebecca, and I am the choir director here at the Ozark Teen Challenge. Who in here has been affected by abuse or addiction, either in your own lives or family members or friends? Quite a few of you. How many has heard of Teen Challenge? Almost everybody, amen. All right, well, Teen Challenge was started back in 1958 by the late Pastor David Wilkerson. He was a pastor whose heart grieved for those who were lost in addiction. The whole Teen Challenge story can be found in his book, The Cross and the Switchblade. And later, it became a movie. If y'all haven't seen it, it's an awesome movie. Through this journey, Pastor David Wilkerson came face to face with the cold, harsh realities of addiction. And the truth is, these realities haven't gotten any better. Reality is, the average age for the first time marijuana use is 14 years old. Reality is, one in five inmates in the United States are incarcerated for drugs or alcohol. Reality is 2.5 million Americans die annually from a drug or alcohol overdose. Reality is the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Do you want to know what reality is? Reality is being the only survivor of a hit-on car accident, but not knowing if you caused that accident or if you were just unfortunately involved. Reality is wanting, planning, and attempting suicide many times because you're so consumed with shame and guilt, addicted to so many medications, death could not possibly hurt as bad as the life you're living. Reality is losing my relationship with my family, knowing that God has turned his back on you, knowing that I would spend eternity in hell, but being okay with it. How do I know that's reality? That was me.
Do you want to know what reality is? Reality is having your daughter taken from you at 9 months old just so you both would survive an abusive relationship. It's being intimate with another man before consummating your marriage, breaking your husband's heart, causing him to go on a downward spiral. Reality is trying to take your own life because you couldn't live with the dark place that you had created for yourself. How do I know that was reality? Because that was me.
Reality is being sexually abused by one of your brothers at a very young age for several years. Reality is feeling so worthless most of your life that you'd do anything to try to end your life. And reality is having such an emptiness and having a void that you did any kind of drugs that you got your hands on to try to fill in that void. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
You see, we all have different realities, but we have all been changed by the same truth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Truth is, I don't even know who that girl is anymore. Truth is, you know, my father's promise in Revelation says former things will pass away, pain will be gone. Pain was gone when I said yes, Father. Truth is, God saved me from the hand of death. I don't have to shed my own blood for my sins. My Heavenly Father did that. He paid that price for me. And truth is, my family didn't turn their back on me. I didn't lose my relationship with God. My family lovingly handed me over to him while he waited patiently for me to turn back to him. I know I will dance the streets of heaven with my family and my Heavenly Father when I pass from this life, when he calls me.
Yeah. Truth is, Proverbs 31:28 states that my daughter will arise, praise me, and call me blessed. Truth is, my husband forgave me. My marriage has been completely restored, and he is, in fact, in Teen Challenge himself, walking his own path right now with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And truth is, that God saved me, he forgave me, and he breathed life back into me so I can choose that life.
Truth is, I'm learning to forgive my brother for what he's done to me, just as the Lord has forgiven me for my sins. Truth is, the Lord says to cast all my anxieties upon him, for he cares for me. And truth is, I am no longer lost because he has found me and he fills in that void.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
And I tell you the truth, if you are not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven.
Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
The book, The Cross and the Switchblade, then tells how God divinely led Pastor David Wilkerson to start Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge Women's Ministries is a part of a worldwide Teen Challenge family of over 200 centers in the United States and over 1,200 centers worldwide. Our women's centers were founded in 2008 by Pastor Jared and Mrs. Kim Flanagan. We take in ladies ages 18 to 65 who struggle with problems such as addiction, abuse, eating disorders, and depression. We believe addiction is just the byproduct of a life without Jesus and a symptom of the bigger problem, which is sin. The Lord wants us to come to him so that he can transform us into what he designed us to be. As we share in song and testimonies, the voices you hear today are true voices of victory. And at this time, the ladies are going to introduce themselves and tell you the scripture that they stand on. And I'm going to start. My name is Rebecca, and I'm 54 years old. I'm from Shawnee, Kansas, and so I would wear a Jayhawk jersey on Jersey Day or a Kansas City Chiefs jersey on Jersey Day. And I've been with Teen Challenge about 2.5 years, and my stand on scripture is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. I don't know if they need this.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I am from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm 25 years old. I've been in the program fixing to be 4 months, and the scripture I stand on is Joshua 1:9. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
I'm Jennifer, I'm 50, I've been in the program 6 months. I'm from Mena, Arkansas, go Razorbacks. my stand on is Proverbs 31:28. Her children will arise and call her blessed. Her husband will praise her also.
My name is Kelly, I'm 33. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, but like Miss Rebecca, I'm with Jayhawks all the way. Been in the program a little over 6 months, and the scripture that I stand on is Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart.
Hi, my name is Raven. I'm 23 years old, and I'm from Springfield, Missouri. I've been in the program for about 19 months now, and the scripture I stand on is Ephesians 5:8. For you were once in darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of the light.
Hi, my name is Brooklyn. I have been in the program for about 1.5 months. I am 23. I'm from Somersville, Missouri. And my stand on scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:7, for I walk by faith, not by sight.
Hello. Can you guys hear me? Hi, my name is April. I'm 30 years old, and I'm from Maryville, Missouri. And I've been in the program for a little over 6 months, and I'm just going to share a little bit of my testimony with y'all. So growing up, I didn't really grow in church, grow up going to church a lot, and I grew up around a lot of unfaithfulness in my family. My mother stepped out on my father, and it led him to be very depressed and alone, and I was with him through it all, and in that, I started drinking quite a bit. I didn't really know how to handle it, so that was how I coped with that whole situation. I did that on and off for years, and I ended up with another man. I started using opiates just here and there, and then I became an IV user for about 4 years. I found out that I was pregnant when I was 25, and so I decided that I needed to stop my drug use. Unfortunately, their father stayed in addiction. I did some outpatient and did some counseling, and I got clean through my pregnancy, and I gave birth to twin boys that are beautiful. They're 4 years old, and so I unfortunately went back to drinking. It was just, I switched one drug for another, and I did that on and off still, but then it became an everyday, all the time thing. I couldn't go to work without drinking. I couldn't go to work and not drink. I couldn't even go to the store without being intoxicated. Their father left because he couldn't handle it, and it was too hard for him. So that made me go into deeper depression, and it saddened me, so I drank more. I ended up having to go to the hospital because I was drinking so heavily. They ended up prescribing me medicine so that I would not drink. I unfortunately abused that, and I drank on top of my medicine because I had given up. It made me absolutely crazy because I couldn't deal with it, and I got my kids unfortunately taken away from me. They thought that it would help, and it just made it worse. And I just lost everything. I ended up losing my job, and I gave up. And so I had to go to court, and they told me I had a choice of getting help or going to jail. And I fought it for a little bit. I did not want to go. I did some other meetings like AA, and it still wasn't helping. I couldn't even go to them sober. So I decided that finally I need to give up. And in order for to get me my children back, I had to get into some treatment. So by the grace of God, I was very blessed with a foster family that is very involved in my life and my children. They found Teen Challenge for me. And so God has completely restored that relationship with my kids. I still have the opportunity to get my children back. I actually just got a visit from them today. My parents, my sisters, that didn't really want much to do with me. They see me, they talk to me, they actually want to be a part of my life. God has shown me the woman that I should be and the mother that I need to be. I'm actually 6 months sober, so by the grace of God. thank you. I've learned so much here. Before, I didn't really know a lot about the Lord. I didn't ever read the Bible. And it's just amazing what sobriety and the Lord can do for you in your life. And he really saved me. So I stand on Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you for letting me share.
Amen. That was only her second time telling her testimony, so very proud of her and what she is accomplishing through this program, but most of all with her relationship with the Lord. It's amazing. And her relationship with her family, she had a huge turnout with the foster family, her children, her parents, sister, the whole 10 yards. They were there today, so it was amazing. And the studies have shown that there is an 86% success rate among Teen Challenge graduates. Our pastor believes that the winning combination of number one, Jesus Christ, and number two, the length of our 13-month program is the reason why Teen Challenge is so successful. Usually our ladies start their day early with prayer time and reading of the Word of God, daily devotionals, and praise and worship. This not only teaches them to dig into the Word, but also to apply it to their lives. Some of the ladies that come into our program have never even opened up a Bible before. then we know that you can't have a relationship with Jesus if you don't communicate with him. We have several different jobs that the ladies are assigned to in Teen Challenge. We have the office where they learn business and communicational skills. We have laundry ladies, and we have kitchen ladies, where they learn to be responsible women of God and good stewards of what the Lord has given to them. We also have a thrift store, and I did bring some of our thrift store flyers here. We're right here in Springfield. We're at Campbell and Sunshine, and we take donations. This is one way that we're able to fund the program and to bring new ladies in that need to get the help that we have gotten. We also have a box truck, so if y'all have donations or something big, large, we can come and over directly to your house or business, and we can pick up those items for you. And people say, oh, you're sending ladies? Well, our ladies are strong, and they're used to picking up that kind of stuff. So no men, just ladies. Come on over, and you can shop at the thrift store also. We have some pretty neat stuff. We also have a classroom where the ladies study the Word of God, and they accomplish 14 different group studies. One of the group studies is attitudes, and I know that our ladies don't have any attitudes at all when they come into the program. They also learn like obedience to God, anger and personal rights, and obedience to man. All of those are pretty difficult ones to go through. They also memorize about 250 scriptures by the time that they graduate the program. I truly believe it's more than that because we use them for everything. And once they graduate the program, they actually get the opportunity to intern for Teen Challenge, and then they can complete proper training and certification and actually become a full-time staff member. And during the week at about 11:30 every single morning, all of our ladies are on their knees in our living room and they are praying over the prayer cards that we are getting ready to hand out to each and every one of you. So I've got a couple, I guess four of the ladies who are going to hand out the cards. And if y'all wouldn't mind just putting down your name on there and any needs that you have, we will be praying for you all at 11:30 every day. So some of the ladies who come into the program were actually on a prayer card like these, and we've prayed them right into Teen Challenge. Right now, while they're out there doing that, when you're all are finished, you can just wave them up in the air, and the ladies can come by and they can pick those up from you. They've got some pins and some cards, and if they actually run out of pins, help out a brother or sister. Maybe y'all have one in your pocket or your purse. And while they're doing that, I am going to quickly tell a little bit about myself. I am going to, first off, I kind of wanted to read a little portion of Psalm 91. It means so much to me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. I love this psalm because I have fought for my life all of my life. And when I read Psalm 91, it really helps me to know that the Lord is there for me and that I can hide under the shadow of his wings, that he is always there for me. And it says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. And Pestilence, I looked it up, and it says it's attacks that come like a plague. And I have to say that I have been attacked throughout my life, just like everybody. But at age 11, I actually accepted the Lord at an early age. I found Jesus, and I found a joy like never before, a joy that made me believe so strongly that God was real. He was so real in my life. But shortly after that, I was attacked with temptation. My parents were drinkers. They drank just about every single day of my life. And I thought it was okay. It was okay to pick up alcoholic beverages. So I drank for the first time when I was 11 years old, and I got drunk. And after that, I drank from time to time, but I went on and I graduated high school. And from there, I went to college. And in college, I dabbled in some drugs, and I drank every weekend. I ended up getting pregnant while I was in college, and I did one of the worst things that anybody could possibly ever do. And I killed one of God's creations by having an abortion. But you know, the Lord is so good, because he forgave me just as he forgives everyone for their sins. But I don't know if I ever got over it right away. I knew that he forgave me, but I didn't forgive myself. I ended up getting married to my first husband, and we had three beautiful children. After I had my children, I began to drink again. My husband was in his addiction, and I was in mine. And after 15 years of marriage, our marriage ended abruptly in a divorce. After that divorce, I went spiraled downhill completely into a dark, dark place. I began to do drugs on a regular basis. I was in and out of jail for DUIs, and I was in and out of mental hospitals thinking that I was crazy and attempting suicides. At one point, I was living in a drug house, and a 24-year-old lady took her own life while I was there with her in the house. I was pretty much scared straight after that. And I thought, well, I need some help. But I didn't go get it. I drank some more. And I drank myself into an alcohol overdose. Ended up by a trash dumpster. My family found me, and I had ended up in ICU with tubes down my throat. And I decided it's time to get some help. Well, I decided to go to Teen Challenge, and praise the Lord that I did. I knew the Lord, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit at age 18, but those attacks kept coming to me. So that's why Psalm 91 stands out to me so much, because I know that I can find him in the dark places of my life, and he forgives me, and he will lift me up. And when I have the Holy Spirit, he will lead me and guide me and direct me. And since I've graduated Teen Challenge, I have been a missionary down in the Dominican Republic. I have helped to lead other ladies and gentlemen to the Lord. I've been able to stay on with Teen Challenge for a year and a half and work with these beautiful ladies. And and the Lord has restored all my relationships with my family and my children. So I praise the Lord today. The biggest thing is that he has given me life and given me joy. And there is so much power in the name of Jesus. And I just praise him every single day that he took me up out of that horrible pit and set my feet on solid ground. Thank you for allowing me to share. And the ladies at this time are going to come forward and pick up any cards that you all have. If you didn't get a chance to fill a card out, you're welcome to take it back to our craft table that's in the back after the service. We're going to bring Raven up here, and she's going to tell her testimony. She is a young lady who has been through a whole lot in this program and in her life, and I think that you guys will really enjoy her story, and she has a lot to say.
Like I said, my name's Raven. I'm from right here in Springfield. I grew up not far away from our thrift store. My story starts with my mom. She was 16 when she had me, and she never wanted me. The day I was born was the day I was put up for adoption. And then my great-grandparents stepped in and said, "Misty, if you keep her, we'll pay all of your bills." What they didn't know is my mom was a drug addict. I was abused by my mom and any man she was with for years. And I thought that was just life. I thought it was just normal. I didn't understand that why I felt so different from everybody else. I felt like an outcast at home, at school. People always told me I was weird. I couldn't read. I had dyslexia. And I really just always felt like the odd one out. I didn't understand why everybody else around me was so happy and like go lucky. I was made fun of a lot at home and at school. And I really just felt unloved, like I wasn't worth anything. And it started at a really young age for me. I remember just wanting to spend time with my mom, and she would always just not want to spend time with me, and I would be locked in my room for days at a time, and I didn't understand why. Why didn't my mom love me? Why wasn't she there for me? So as the years went on, the abuse in my home got worse and worse, and I was uprooted from the only two people who I thought loved me, which were my great-grandparents. And we moved to Houston, Texas, and that was a huge change for me. And I started noticing that other people's homes lives weren't like mine. Their parents were nice to them, and they had responsibilities. They were allowed to go out, and they weren't treated like I was treated. At that point, my mom started having me admitted to mental hospitals, where they prescribed me tons of different medication. I was taking over 10 pills a day of the highest milligram. There wasn't a diagnosis I didn't have. I had psychosis, bipolar disorder, anxiety, depression, mood disorders, like I had it all. And it just, no matter what I did, there was just always something wrong with me, and I didn't understand it. But I did find that the more of this medicine I took, the better I felt and the better I could deal with my at-home situations. I became an addict not even a year after that. I just kept going to the doctor and getting more and more of these medicines. I figured out that I could sell them to my friends too. And it was an awful spiral in my life. When I was about 15 years old, my mom and my stepdad divorced, and I lived with him for a couple months to take care of my little brother and sister, and then he kicked me out, which just replayed the whole wound of I'm not wanted and nobody needs me, and I moved in with my mom, who found out about my drug addiction, and instead of being upset, was proud of me for the first time in my life, and it gave me a basis to have a relationship with her. I lived like that for a couple years, and when I was 17, I tried to get my life right. I left home, I got sober, and I started looking for God. I went to Kansas City Job Corps Center and went into culinary, and I was so happy I was doing something different with my life. There were so many things on the horizon that I was looking forward to, and I started hanging around that group of people who were hurting and broken, and I fell right back into my addiction. I ended up getting raped by two boys I went to school with, and everybody called me a liar. And I moved back in with my mom. A month after moving back in with her, I was a Satanist, and I was involved in the occult. My drug addiction came after me like it never had before. It became my life. That was my life. That was my sustenance. I got my life what I thought was together. I got a job, a fiance. I was working like a normal person, and I was proud of myself. All of these things were based off of all the wrong things. I thought God hated me. I felt sorry for people who were Christians. I couldn't understand how a man who died for me loved me. My drug addiction completely consumed my life after my fiance cheated on me. I found myself homeless, living on the streets. I became a prostitute, in and out of motel rooms, doing whatever I had to do to get these drugs that I thought that I so desperately needed. And my grandma, she thought I'd been dead. She called the police trying to get a hold of me. And when she finally found me, she said, "Raven, listen, normal people don't live their lives like this. You need help." And she told me about Teen Challenge. And I told her, "God's never helped me, and he's not going to help me now. And the Lord works in very mysterious ways." About 2 weeks later, I found myself in a motel room, and my friends had mixed some of my drugs together. And it put me in this altered state. And I don't mean like I was just really, really messed up. I was. But I had this moment of clarity that I was no longer just destroying my life anymore. There were teenagers in this room, and I was supporting their addiction. I was 21 years old, and I literally had nothing. I had nothing. My family was 1,000 miles away. And I needed something to change. And I was like, you know, maybe I should go to that Teen Challenge program, you know, maybe just get sober for a little while, get my GED, and go back to selling dope, because I thought that's what was going to be my life. I didn't think I had a life outside of addiction. And I came into Teen Challenge, and I found a love that completely changed my life. I had never been able to receive love. I never knew what it even meant. I thought love was something physical. I didn't know that it could change my entire life. For the first time in my life, people loved on me where I was, not for somebody I wasn't. I was a terrible person. I was brokenhearted. I didn't want to change. And I mean, I was a Satanist in a Christian community, and it was just really awkward for me. I mean, it really was at first, but these people loved me where I was and where I sat, and nobody my entire life had ever given me the time of day or even told me I could change. And the love of God got introduced to me. I got saved my first month in the program. I got baptized a week later. A week after that, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. My life was forever changed by the grace of God. It's been the most amazing journey. God placed a calling on my life. I want to go into ministry. That's where my heart's at. I want to spread the truth of God. Now, I moved to the Missouri Teen Challenge, and a month after I had moved back, my mom moved back, and we were all really excited because we thought my mom was going to get sober. She was in and out of treatment. Not treatment, but like places that help you get sober. She was really depleted of nutrients, but she just kept on going back out there, and then her body just got so sick. And she turned yellow, and then she figured out how sick she really was. A couple months later, my mom died. She had gone to church more in this last year of her life than she ever had before in my whole life. My pastor from Freedom City came into the hospital and prayed with my mother while she was still conscious, and she said, "I'll be there on Sunday." My mom died 5 days after that. But she knew God. She had that opportunity to accept Christ into her life. He was the only one that could heal her. He was the only one that could take her suffering away. And he did. I get so much solace in knowing that my mom's not on this earth and suffering from the mistakes that she made. And she had the opportunity to get to know the love of Christ that not only changed her life in the end, but ultimately has changed mine. And that's why the scripture I stand on is Ephesians 5:8. "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." Thank you for letting me share.
Amen. That was one of the hardest things she's had to do, is tell her testimony. Her mother passed away 2 weeks ago, and she didn't want to tell her testimony tonight or this morning, and we really needed her. And a lot of times when we tell our testimony, that's where the healing begins. And so I asked her to do it, and she said that she would. And I told her just to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through her, and that the words that come out of her mouth, whatever it is, it's what he wanted her to say. And it's something that somebody out here needed to hear. So I praise the Lord. I had the opportunity to pray with her grandmother on speakerphone the last few minutes at the hospital. And she had told me also that Raven was the one who was there when her mother was led to the Lord, so we know that she's in heaven today. And real quickly, I'd like to share with you our Back to Life contribution trifold. This brochure is, it gives you the opportunity to partner with us. We have some of these, I believe, in the back. It has some testimonies in this little trifold here. This is a department that we have in our program where the ladies get to learn, actually, they call on the phone and they get to learn how to pray out loud for people, which is really a learned thing. Not everybody can do that. And Teen Challenge is all about prayer. And so we pray for people, and this gives people an opportunity to help when they can. They can either become a one-time or a monthly supporter for Teen Challenge. So if y'all need a brochure here, we have them for you. We are actually a nonprofit organization, which I'm sure y'all already know that. So we don't receive any state or government funding. We don't charge our ladies a monthly fee. So we do raise support by receiving donations for our woodworking and crosses and plaques and things like that. And we actually have a table set up out in your foyer that has some of our products on it. It looks a lot like the tables that you see when we're out fundraising. I'm sure you guys have probably seen us at Walmart or grocery stores, truck stops, gas stations. We go out every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, sometimes on Wednesdays, and to catch up when we've had a lot of snow days or something. But the ladies stand out there in the rain, the snow, the hot heat of over 100 degrees, and they do this for 12 plus hours. Amazing. But the Lord really breaks chains when we're out there. And we're able to pray with people right out at storefronts where you normally wouldn't see people standing in a circle praying. And we get to tell our testimonies, which a lot of times you never know. It might really touch somebody's heart. They can find the Lord and they're going to fall to their knees. So we encourage you all to come out there and pick up a plaque and hang it on your wall and let it remind you of the people who are out there who are lost and hurting and that need to find the Lord. We do have a little present for pastor and the church. And we're going to allow y'all to pick out a cross or a plaque when you come back to our table so that you can either hang it up in the church or in your offices or something like that. And we just want to bless you all with that for allowing us to come out today. Well, these ladies have fought for their lives just as I fought for mine, and just as you all have fought for yours. But as Elisha said to his servant when the Syrian army was coming after them, the Israelites, his servant said, "Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? They're coming after us." Well, when he said that, Elisha said, "Don't you worry, there's more of us than there are of them." And he prayed that the Lord would open up his servant's eyes. And he did. And the servant opened up his eyes and he looked around. And he saw the chariots of fire and God's army all on the mountainside. And I want you all to remember, when the enemy comes after you, keep fighting, because there's more of us than there are of them. thank you so much for allowing us to share tonight. And we just pray that God has been rightly glorified tonight.